I'm sure you've heard all the predictions by now that libraries would not be able to survive in the cyber age, but as it turns out, none of us, neither the experts nor the hopelessly baffled, can get along without human help, and that's where librarians have always come to the rescue. In her latest book, This Book is Overdue, How Librarians and Cyberarians Can Save Us All, Marilyn Johnson explores the world of today's surprisingly hip, tech-savvy librarians who continue to provide their invaluable services. It's published by Harper, and I'm very pleased it has brought Marilyn Johnson to our show today. Hi.
Me too. Hi.
So that's despite Google and Wikipedia, you say that we need librarians now more than ever?
Now more than ever, absolutely. Have you ever tried to track something back on Google? It's really very difficult. And I don't know, maybe I'm particularly challenged, but I need librarians to help me wend my way through the labyrinth of garbage that's out there.
Well, you need to get a librarian who knows what he or she is doing.
Exactly. And then you just, if you don't get one that knows what he or she is doing, you ask to find another one.
Excuse me, I said that. That is terrible. This rarely happens.
Water, good. Librarians choked you up.
Yeah, I get all excited when I think about libraries, because libraries did play an important role in my life, and I think in the lives of many people of my generation.
Of all generations. And I think a lot of us who are able to afford computers and afford smartphones are walking around being taken care of. Or if we work for an organization that has an IT department, it all looks fine to us. We don't understand why libraries are necessary.
But are kids still going to libraries? Do they even know what the Dewey Decimal System is?
I don't know about the Dewey Decimal System. I haven't quizzed a lot of children. But, in fact, if you walk into any public library in this country, I swear you will find people sitting around story hours, people having community meetings, people using the public computers, and people reading books.
And you're talking about kids as well.
I'm talking about people of all ages, and that's the thing about libraries is they are for everybody. They're for everybody.
Now, there are economic reasons people like to go to the library. They can actually get books free.
Well,
but libraries right now, aren't they suffering because of cutbacks, funding cutbacks?
Absolutely, and short-sighted cutbacks at that, because what happens is the library is not free. We have the illusion that it's free, but it's our tax dollars that support it.
I thought it was Andrew Carnegie.
He left some very nice buildings to us. But, you know, we are, it's our communities. It's our expression of what resources we want to share together.
I have noticed major changes in libraries over the years. The Brooklyn Public Library main branch at Grand Army Plaza, there used to be these rows and rows and rows of cabinets filled with cards using the Dewey Decimal System. That's now a cafe.
And
and there are where the old new books area is now filled with computers. So that's the change?
Well, these are our public computers. We don't have cyber cafes like they have in Europe. So if somebody doesn't have a computer, if the computer isn't working, if they have a computer question that is not attached to a credit card, they go to the library. And what's so wonderful about librarians is that they have taken this challenge to convert our information into the digital age, and they are educating themselves ahead of even those of us who are in the media.
Well, librarians had to go to school for a degree in library science, right?
Yes.
Are they teaching this new approach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can get a library degree actually online at some very fine institutions.
So what happens to that librarian who's been at the library for 20 or 30 years?
Those are some of the hippest and savviest people out there. I am so impressed. I mean, I go there now. I went there originally with a question of how to save the research that I was gathering on the Internet. I didn't understand how to capture it and save it to a file. And the librarian, who was not a young librarian, said, "Have you tried this?" And she pulled the file down, and it said, "Save as web page." My computer snapped a picture of that page, and I could go back to it any time, flashing graphics and all. It changed the world for me.
In the old days, we used to have to put 10 cents into the Xerox machine.
Yeah.
Is that still happening? Because, for example, the main branch of the New York Public Library has some of those great old books that they obviously can't allow people to take out, but they still let us reference them. And
they're ours.
and we can Xerox individual pages.
Yes. Yes, and some branches and some research libraries in the New York Public Library system will actually Xerox it for you or copy it for you.
Will all that change when and if Google winds up digitalizing every word that's ever been published?
We are not going to see that day. That is so far in the future. Even if all of us here in this city started digitizing everything, I mean, could we ever catch up with the collected wisdom of the world? I would seriously doubt it. I think we have this illusion that Google has its fingers in everything, and it's really just a tip of the iceberg.
Do you think that librarians need to do a better job of telling people what they do?
You know, we've given them so many jobs. Their job was to organize and help us access the resources, the shared intellectual resources of our society. They have become babysitters. Every social problem that we don't fund ends up at the desk of the library. They are putting people to work now. They are working as job counselors. So, I mean, how many more jobs do we really want to give them? I would like to take on a little bit of that and say, just deliver yourself to the library and watch them in action.
I would assume that your first book, The Deadbeat, about your experience writing obituaries, actually brought you to the libraries in the first place.
It did, indeed. I couldn't afford to subscribe to all of these newspapers, so I used to go to the Mid-Manhattan branch and the main research library at 42nd and 5th in the Schwarzman Building, which it was not called that at the time. But they would get all the London newspapers. They would get the newspapers from across the country, and I would catch up with it there. And they were helpful. They would find me things. My local librarians would collect things for me.
Knowing that you were looking for that kind of thing.
Oh, yes. It's the dirty secret of so many writers that librarians have our back.
Well, when I think about the stereotypes about librarians, the one who's constantly shushing everybody, the person who actually says, who looks down his or her nose at you when you ask a question that would seem very obvious to that person but not to you, that's not what you really find in libraries.
That's not what I've found. I'm sure,
You still get shushed?
I wish people would just let go of that. They're noisy places now. I mean, it's like people are chatting away. It's just not like that. And I've seen some of the best poker faces ever on the faces of librarians who are being asked to look up some really kind of sketchy things.
Uh-huh.
They're professional. They're really good at not judging you and helping you find the information you need, no matter how ridiculous it is.
Your blurb in your book says you have a lot of different library cards. Do you need more than one?
Well, I do to access the various databases. That's why I have them. I mean, each library is different in what they collect. The local resources that they collect or the various databases. And so I can get things at one of my local Westchester libraries that I can't get at another one of my local Westchester libraries. And the New York Public Library, which, have you ever used their live chat line?
Mm-mm.
3 o'clock in the morning, you can go on it and ask them a question. Make up a question and ask it of them.
They also have blogs, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They're really cool.
My guest is Marilyn Johnson, whose book, her latest book, is This Book is Overdue, How Librarians and Cybrarians Can Save Us All. It is published by Harper. How significant a role do librarians play as protectors of our civil liberties?
It's in their code of ethics that librarians will not brook our confidence, that they will protect our privacy. And there are librarians in this country who have gone, you know, who've gone to the wall.
Gone to court.
Gone to court to defend that principle.
The Patriot Act actually forced the issue, didn't it?
Yes, and still is. The Patriot Act is still in effect, and there's still national security letters going out to libraries.
What does it require librarians to do?
It requires them to give up whatever information they have asked for and never say a word about it to anyone ever. Now, this is a problem, and it presents a terrible conflict for librarians, but they follow the law. It's very important to them to follow the law. What happened in Connecticut at Library Connection was that a group of librarians anticipated getting a national security letter and streamlined the bureaucracy there so they could challenge the constitutionality of it if the issue came up, and it did come up. And so they were under a gag order for almost a year and went through several courts, being treated basically as criminals in the process before the case was dropped, and they were able to talk about national security letters.
I'm unsure as to what the government would want to know about the books that I took out. I read a certain novel. The libraries aren't filled with information about how to build bombs, are they?
Well, they're filled with all kinds of information, and in this, you know, very paranoid times, they're also filled with computers that have access to the Internet. And when somebody, in this particular case, we think it was somebody who sat at a computer in a public library and delivered a tip, sent a tip to one of the national security agencies, and they were trying to track the source of that tip. It's such a waste of money. To chase down information that, as it turned out, did not exist. They did not have the information about who had actually been sitting at that computer.
You also use the word cybrarian in the title of your book. What's a cybrarian?
It's not a beautiful word, but it does say in a very concise way a librarian who is technologically savvy.
And you say that there are librarian avatars?
Yes.
Are they three-dimensional?
Well, they seem three-dimensional, but you're looking at them on the computer screen in virtual reality. Actually, there's a whole branch of librarianship called virtual librarianship, and it just means that you're not sitting face-to-face with someone while you're answering questions. But these are extreme virtual librarians. They take on an avatar shape and send this little avatar through a 3D-seeming world, like Second Life. And there are librarians, real librarians in real life, who are playing librarians in Second Life. And they are answering questions of other avatars saying, you know, how do I do this? How do I make myself fly through the air of this cyberspace? And a librarian will happily answer your question.
Can you tell us about the virtual world called the Land of Lincoln?
The Land of Lincoln is a special, what they call Sim, an island in Second Life, in virtual reality, that is being busily constructed, even as we sit here, by librarians and retired librarians who are collecting all these resources and creating the barn that Lincoln was said to visit, the law offices where he was said to practice. They're constructing clothes that were true to the area. They're building the Lincoln White House and furnishing it with furniture and collecting all those resources that you can access on the web in one place. So you can visit this island and actually click on a cartoon and see a collection of punch cartoons that were done of Lincoln during the time that he was in the White House.
This is going to make writing the next biography of Lincoln a lot easier, I suspect. we mentioned blogs. What are some of the hot topics that librarians are blogging about?
Well, they're blogging, of course, about how we can access computers in a better way, how we can do social networking, and they're also blogging about the bad behavior of their patrons.
Well, your book is called This Book is Overdue.
Yes.
Is that still a big problem with libraries?
The overdue library books?
The overdue
books? Yes,
or the book that never comes back?
Oh,
the
yes.
stolen book?
Yes. It's part of the risk of it, but it's not, I don't think it's the focus. I wouldn't say it's one of the big problems.
One of the people you write about is David Smith at the New York Public Library.
Yes.
He seems to read everything, but I would assume that he is a special case.
No, I don't think so. I think librarians, you know, there were a couple librarians who are finding that their eyes are just too tired at the end of the day to read much, and those are ones who listen to audiobooks. But librarians go into it because they love to read. They love the written word. And so David Smith is an unusual librarian. He's crazy about writers. And if he meets a writer, he goes home and reads everything that writer's ever written and talks about it to the next writer who comes along. So he's this fabulous networker, alas retired.
I've heard that the recession has made libraries more popular. Mm. But I would also think that it's a way of separating who has money and who doesn't have money, because unless libraries are now also adapting to the Kindle and...
Of course they are. You can check out Kindles at some libraries. And you can download e-books to your e-reader with a library card at many libraries. I mean, it's just some communities are deciding that these are the kinds of resources that we should share, and they're empowering their librarians to go out and do that. You know, everything is up, usage is up. People showing up needing jobs, hours are shrinking. Librarians are being let go. This is exactly the wrong thing. That's the wrong direction. And it seems
because
to be,
the assumption is that we can get everything just simply by going to a search engine.
Yes. And the assumption is that, you know, when dollars are tight, this is an extraneous service. That couldn't be further from the truth. This is when we all need to be pooling our resources and sharing them in a library.
Can you tell us about the librarians at St. John's University who are doing work on social justice?
These librarians are teaching academic librarians who have made it their job to put computers in the hands of young missionaries and send them back to their communities wired and able to post information about the community, about the drought conditions there, for instance. And enable them to earn a master's degree in social justice.
Have there always been these kinds of niche librarians? I mean, you talk about dog librarians,
yes.
For example, people who specialize in all sorts of different areas.
It's so interesting. I really, really wanted to go to a gathering of veterinary librarians. I thought that would be kind of fun.
There are veterinary librarians?
Yes, they're culinary librarians. They're librarians. I mean, you know, librarians individually, whatever they're interested in, they're so interested they become experts.
So are there obituary librarians that you could have consulted when you were writing that book?
Yes, I bet there are.
Marilyn Johnson will be reading and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at the Upper West Side Barnes & Noble store that's at Broadway and 82nd Street. She'll also be reading tomorrow at 7 at the main branch of the Brooklyn Public Library at Grand Army Plaza. And her book is called This Book is Overdue, How Librarians and Cybrarians Can Save Us All. It is published by Harper. Do you know if this book is being bought by a lot of libraries? I would assume that librarians see this book and say, oh, gee, we have to have this in stock even if we don't get one of the big new novels.
Oh, yes. It's kind of popular in libraries. You can go on worldcat.org, which basically tracks books, and it will tell you how many miles away from a library copy of this book you are.
One of the only concerns I have is that some libraries, not here in New York, but some libraries have been very selective in what they choose. I don't know if it's the librarians who make those decisions or other people, but we are seeing some kind of censorship depending on what the local attitudes are about a certain issue.
It's always a battle, and librarians more often than not are on the side of the angels there.
Thank you so much, Marilyn Johnson, for being with us. Her book, This Book is Overdue, How Librarians and Cybrarians Can Save Us All, published by Harper.